Blog Talk Radio.
It's actually good that we did the show at a different time today because I've got a track meet, I've got a baseball game. I don't personally. The kids have track meet and baseball game.
I was getting ready to say.
And another music concert tonight. So now you understand. This has been going on like this for, since the second, where it's just been nonstop, which is why I ended up with my pants on backwards, because I just,
How's that alibi working out for you?
I don't know if I'm coming or going. I really, really don't.
No, honey, I put my pants on backwards because I was rushing. Yeah, that's what happened. I was in a hurry.
They were already zipped.
The pants got put on backwards.
They were already zipped and buttoned, and I just threw them on.
Yeah.
And thank God I had on a long shirt because I had noticed that they were kind of low in the back, you know? I was like, why are my pants riding low in the back? But I had a long T-shirt, and I had shit to do. So I was just like, I'll just deal with it later. And I went in the bathroom, and I said, well, where's my zipper? And I said, well, maybe this pair doesn't have a zipper, and I'm just tripping. So because I've lost weight, I can just slide them right off, and that's what I did, and that's when I saw the zipper was in the back. And I was like, good Lord. I done ran around this town all day with my pants on backwards.
Looking like Chris Cross's big sister.
Right, except for I had a long shirt. But the question begs, would somebody have actually told me, because I'm a little too old to be doing crisscross, would somebody have said, I'm not sure you meant to wear your pants that way.
You know me, because I love you. I would have told you. But the
way
I
would have
told
me.
you
would have told me, but you also would have implied, like you were implying a few minutes ago, and I was just talking over you, that I was up to no good.
No.
And that's how my pants got on backwards.
No. Never would I admit to doing that.
Whatever.
So let's get
whatever.
We have less than an hour, and after this show, I am going to a memorial celebration for Delmonica Hines, who passed away today last year. If some of our listeners may remember, some of our friends know, she was probably one of the closest people in my world, and she lost her battle to breast cancer. And as I've said repeatedly on the show, and especially last year, ladies, please go get your examination and self-test as often as need be, and don't take anything for granted. Don't think, oh, it's just a small whatever. Go get it checked out.
Yes. Self-test. The next time you go to your gyno, learn how to self-test, because these Republicans have messed up with a lot of these insurance things, and some women are trying to go get their breast exams only to find out that it's not covered.
Out of this
Which
world.
Which is
so unbelievable.
Stupid.
Unbelievable. I would just love for, and I think he's a prime candidate, for Rand Paul to end up with male breast cancer and see how
Which happens.
It is at that point. Yeah, it does. It does. It does happen. But I'd like to see how important it is to his agenda at that point.
Exactly. There was just a story in the news yesterday up here in Washington about a woman who went to get her exam and couldn't, and the insurance company wasn't because the insurance company wasn't covering it.
I mean, facts are the facts. We're only put on this planet for a short period of time, but there is no need to be in the so-called greatest country in the world and be treated worse than some of our pets get care. It's amazing. It is amazing.
But we're going to celebrate Dale's life today.
Yes.
And one of the ways we're going to celebrate it is to remind women, get your breast exams, self-exam, teach your husband, your boyfriend, whatever. Teach your partner.
Everything. Everything.
Teach your partner how to get an exam.
Yeah. Trust me, a lot of them are willing to learn.
They are. I had a lump in my breast 12 years ago, maybe, no, longer than that, 16 years ago, and it was my husband who found it. So there you go.
I keep telling you he's a good man. I keep telling you. I keep telling you. You don't want to listen to
Well, me. Yeah, but let's be clear, he wasn't looking for it when he found it.
Well, let's be clear. He was trying to help you, Ike, and you'd be all mad because all he wants to do is help you. He's just trying to help.
Right, that's the story. He said, I'm just looking out for you. It looked a little lumpy, so I wanted to test it out myself.
Check out the lumps. Smooth them over a little bit. See what I could do for you. See what I could do for you. So, let's get right to it. Here we are, 6 months since Sandy Hook. And what's in the news today?
Another I don't know. Why don't you tell
weapon,
me?
Another assault weapon attack, this time in Santa Monica, California. Your used to backyard.
My used to backyard.
Your used to backyard. Man has an assault-style weapon with several clips of ammunition. I think, what was the count, 1,600 rounds?
Something
and
like.
walked into the library at Santa Monica and shot off 74 rounds in a matter of seconds before he was stopped by using a Wayne Lapierre comment, a good guy with a gun, or several good guys with a gun. But why does it have to come to that? Why do we have to go there, America? Why do we have to repeatedly find these stories at the top of the news cycle? I ask the question again. What is wrong with keeping criminals from getting guns by checking backgrounds to find out who is or who is not a criminal?
Right, and the argument of, well, if everybody carried guns, blah, 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 that's a straw man argument. It really is, because, I mean, there have been places where there have been shootings where people are allowed to carry concealed.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't change anything.
Mm-mm. Maybe less people got killed or less people got shot, but people still got shot.
Well, and I don't even know if less people got shot, because unless – I'll use you as an example. You're a gun owner. You know how to use guns. But do you know how to use guns in that type of situation?
I have
police
not
officers,
been combat trained.
Right,
I have
exactly.
Not been combat ready trained.
Police officers, military people, they can think, you know, when there's bullets whizzing past them. But me, well, you know, I'm going to take me out of the equation, but people like you, I just don't see it because that's just not your training. Now, you know, if it's a bunch of quail, okay.
A bunch of, yeah, I can think I could shoot a bunch of damn quail. I'm pretty sure. As he's trying to put that last E into potato, I can put a round into his behind. No
but
doubt
you know
in
what?
My mind.
It's not Dan Quayle anymore. It's his stupid son, Ben. He's the issue.
And I told you the Ben Quayle story, right?
Mm-mm.
When he was a kid.
No.
A former manager of mine ran a basketball team, Little League basketball team, and Dan Quayle's son was on the team, the now famous Ben Quayle. And, of course, this was while Dan Quayle was DP. And during the game, Ben Quayle took a shot, and from where he was, it was just a little kid at the time, but from where he took the shot under the rim, all he did was end up slamming the ball into the bottom of the rim and wedging it under the rim, and they had to suspend play. And when it happened, everybody looked over at his father in his Secret Service detail. And according to my manager, Dan Quayle just put his head down like a wife bee. Now what?
Him special. Him
the
real
apple
special.
Does not fall far from the tree. All I can tell you. So now we have a fool running around, angry at the world, shooting up innocent people, carjacking innocent people, rampaging, and then being shot and killed by the police himself. And we have to speculate on why, what happened, what snapped, what went wrong, instead of up front denying him access to the weapons to begin with, so we wouldn't even have to be having this discussion. Right? But 6 months later, 6 months later, 6 months after Sandy Hook,
crazy. It's crazy. When is enough enough? I don't understand how many more people have to die before we can't even institute something as simple as a background check.
Simple. Just let us find out what's in your history that says, no, this isn't a good idea.
And that's the crazy thing. It's so simple. It really, really is. You could save so many lives by just taking 3 weeks to look at somebody's background. That's it. How many problems do we have in this country can be solved that easily? Not very many.
Well, to segue, evidently, the government wants to find out. The government
right.
wants to find out by circumventing the background check and just checking on everybody. let's just read everything you're writing, listen to every conversation you're making, look at your emails. Lord, if they ever outlaw certain types of adult-oriented porn, I'm going to jail.
Right.
I am so in trouble.
You know, I am so on the fence with all of this. I mean, I don't even. Let's begin with the quote unquote whistleblower. I have a problem with him.
Talk to me.
I don't have a problem with what he did, but I don't believe that he did it for the good of the country.
Yeah.
Just based on, you know, the stuff that he's been saying. First of all, he's worried about, you know, being
hunted down and having, you know, his life combed through. So he flees to the oh-so-progressive country of China, where they have all the freedom in the world.
Hong Kong.
Egypt. And then he's talking about the CIA and the triads are coming to get him, and he's skinning and grinning in his interviews, and you know what I mean? It's just, I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something off with that guy. Now, that doesn't negate what he found and what he exposed, but, and I don't think that he rises to the level of being called a traitor, because some people are saying they want to try him for treason, you know. Oh, yeah, they definitely going to get him for that. And I don't know if that's the right thing to do. I mean, what he released or did it affect national security in any way? Did he sell secrets? I mean,
he did not sell secrets, but he betrayed his security clearance.
He betrayed his security
trust.
Yes, but does that rise to the level of treason?
Well, when you do something like that, then flee the country, what is your real motivation, as you say? And just by acts that he followed after, it looked kind of funny. And you notice that Russia has extended him sanctuary. And I'm sure they're anxious to have him live somewhere on a farm out in the mountains and never be bothered by people again. Right.
Well, you know, I'm going to take back part of my statement. I mean, we don't know what he saw. So for all we know, he could have done something treasonous. We just don't know. You know, if he was savvy and smart, he would not have given everything that he knows to The Guardian, the UK paper.
Well, and then let's talk about what he has exposed. Not so much that he exposed it. I mean, let's face facts, America. I've held high-level security clearances, and I've been inside NSA, and that's all I'm going to say on what I've done and seen there as far as that's concerned. However, all national security is based on the belief and hope and trust that individuals who pass a background investigation, who hold these high-level jobs, won't go running their mouths telling everything they see, because, quite frankly, there are things that happen that you don't need to know and you probably don't want to know. And sad to say, some of the things, as scary as they are definitely necessary to be seen and to be investigated and checked out. But once you betray that trust, once you spill the beans, you are subject to prosecution. It's right there in your agreement when you sign off that you have the security clearance and the things you see and the stuff you do, you will never exposed to the outside world. So to me, that's his treasonous act. But what he's exposed is they listening, they looking, they watching, they following. They're doing exactly what Barry Gordy's son said in the song.
So here's the question, though: Is it odd that I'm not surprised? Is that just me, or is that me being a black person in the United States? I mean, it's bad, but I would have been surprised to find out that they weren't looking and listening. It's called big, you know, I grew up, I told you my mother thought that the government was listening through the cable box.
And my mother is not crazy, I promise you. But one of her friends got it in her head that they could see everything that you were doing through your cable box. Okay, well, you know, I'll just moon them and keep it moving. I'm just not surprised to hear all of this. I'm even less surprised since the passing of the Patriot Act. I just assume, I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, my mom and I will be on the phone and I'll say something, and jokingly she'll say, "Now, Mr. Government, that was my daughter who said that she wanted such and such blown up, not me." My mother and I have always done that. Me and my best friend always do that. If I say something really stupid, they go, "Now, wait a minute, that didn't come from me, that came from her." And are they listening to my conversation right at that time? No, absolutely not. But, I mean, it's just been a given that, hey, you don't know who's listening and reading what. And I've just lived my life like that. You know, they got cameras on the streets and God knows, you know, what else. There's nothing that they can't find out if they don't want to. And I don't think I'm wearing a tinfoil hat by saying that.
No, you're not wearing a tinfoil hat. That I can tell from here, and hopefully if you have one on, it's not on the wrong side, out or backwards. But you have to understand, and I'll play this clip from a movie a few years ago, Enemy of the State, with Will Smith and Gene Hackman.
Love that movie.
Yeah, the movie is so far-fetched wrong from a geographical standpoint, and it's fun to watch and say, wait a minute, especially if you're in this area, you'll go, wait a minute, how is he running down the street of Baltimore and all of a sudden he's in a tunnel in D.C.?
yeah, but
if you're from, like, Kansas, you don't know the difference.
Right, you know? Little Washington, me, it didn't make no bit of difference to me.
Right, it made me, I'm watching, and I happen to see the movie in Harrisburg, PA, and I'm going, and people I'm watching with, like, oh my God, that looks real. I'm like, it looks real unless you try to go down that street in Baltimore, because that's not going to happen. But
not today.
This is the line from the movie that, you know, you should think about it for today.
The government's been in bed with the entire telecommunications industry since the 40s. They've infected everything. They get into your bank statements, your computer files, your email. Listen to your phone calls.
My wife's been saying that for years.
Every wire, every airwave. The more technology you use, the easier it is for them to keep tabs on you.
So, it's real. It's real. You know, back in the 80s, before things were so secured and so secretive, for lack of a better term, you could drive past NSA and you can still do it, but you'd see all the satellite dishes and towers and everything on the rooftop, and it would make you think, what is really going on over there? Now, being that I would go in there, I knew some of the things that was going on over there. But in those days, cell phones weren't as prevalent as they are today. There was no email, per se, outside of the government and internal companies and organizations. Now there's just so much available for them to listen in on and ways for them to listen in.
And if you want your mind really blown, go watch a movie called The Conversation with Gene Hackman from 1973, maybe?
I don't know, 73. I'm not sure if I was born back then.
Well, at any rate, it's called The Conversation, and it's really good. It's about government wiretapping and what they hear or what he hears. But, you know, I mean, since they've been able to, I mean, wiretapping's been going on for how long? We can get you Nixon. That's a big, huge wiretap.
Yeah, and you can go back further than that. Like I said, J. Edgar Hoover, he'd been tapping people's lines and, you know, correspondence for years, but now it's very easy, especially if Google and other ISPs and service providers are going to give the government access to anything they want. Scared yet?
Anything. I just think you need to live your life, not like I said, not with wearing a tinfoil hat or anything like that, but just know that if you're sending something, you're sending packets over anything, be they text packets or email packets or voice packets, it's not like they just travel through thin air.
Right. And as a quick technical lesson to people who don't understand the technology like you and I do, please understand that when you address an email to somebody, that email does not leave your computer and go directly to your friend's computer. That information is an electronic packet of data that travels across the internet, and your computer's email program is looking for the header information that's on the front end of your email, the electronic package, and says, oh, that's for me, let me grab it and put it in here for you to read. But anybody can intercept that unless it's encrypted. Anyone can intercept that information and read it, and they have it. And bada bing. So if the government is tracking the line and listening in, they can get that information.
Yeah, they can get that information. And, you know, this isn't how it works, but this is how I want you to visualize it. Visualize that you send off an email, and all those little letters go up your telephone pole and go through the wires, and they go wire to wire to wire to wire. Now, that's not how it happens, but that's how you can visualize it. Now, visualize it going through those wires, and then somebody up on the telephone pole snipping that wire and reconnecting it to another wire, and then it gets rerouted in another direction. That's how easy it is for your packets to end up where they're not supposed to end up.
Scary.
There you go.
Scary.
It's scary. I mean, it's that easy. And you just, you know, put a computer in one place, take a computer out of another place, put a wire here, take a wire out of there, take a electronic wire, for lack of a better term, remove it, replace it, reroute it. It's very, very easy. Just like when you delete stuff off your computer, unless you put, like, battery acid on it, it's still on your computer. Your email is never deleted. You may delete it from your computer, but those packets that you sent off into the ether, they are still retrievable. If you have AOL... Right. If you have AOL or Gmail, anyone, it's on their
Yahoo.
Server. So you, anyone. So you can send it wherever you want to. But if a subpoena, if Yahoo or Google or Gmail is presented with a subpoena, they can grab your shit again. It's never, ever, ever gone. Never. So.
And will not hesitate.
Will not. Now I will say that the ISPs have been pretty good about not just giving up anybody's information without a subpoena. But once they have that subpoena, night-night.
And that's what's really scary. That's what's really going on, that people are naively thinking is not, they think it's not possible, but it's been possible since the advent of electronic communication, telephone lines.
Yeah, and maybe that's why I'm not surprised, because I know how technology works. But for him to say that, you know, for it to be a big revelation that they're, you know, looking at this, that, and the other, I'm just like, well, yeah, of course. Why wouldn't they be? They can.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't understand why we thought that we were in a completely free society. We never will be. And not necessarily without good reason. With the increase in threats against our black president, they absolutely are digging through stuff. Absolutely. And people are still sitting there ricing. Come on now. That's the 90s.
Yeah, send out rice and address to the president as if he gets his own mail.
Right, as if we can't detect that stuff anymore. So, I mean, I don't want it to sound like I'm okay with our quote-unquote freedoms being taken. I just thought they already were.
Yeah, and you have to expect that under the circumstances, again, in which we live, the times in which we live, all that stuff is happening, and it's not a person. And don't let Mr. Snowden fool you. There's no person on the end of a set of headphones listening to every one of your phone calls. There's no way that can happen.
No.
But that data gets dumped into a repository, and computer algorithms are run against that data, again, electronically, because everything converts to digital now.
Right, and they pull out keywords.
And they look for certain keywords, right, key phrases, trend. And then if Kamal and I were to have a conversation and every other word out of our mouth would be jihad, then someone might start picking up on us, and then we get targeted. Then you get narrowed down, and then eventually you're going to have people, real people, listening in to what you're doing, real time.
Right. If we say jihad and fertilizer and ammonium nitrate,
many times. Right.
We're gonna have the NSA crawling up our behinds with a microscope, real quick.
And it ain't gonna be pretty.
It ain't going to be fun.
No. And when they ask you to come in to explain.
If they ask you to come in to explain.
Right.
They might
come
send
in
the NYPD
they're going to come
us.
In. Right.
I'm
you know,
seeing
but,
24. They ain't going to be asking us much of nothing.
Right, I've seen 24, you know, and again, they're bringing 24 back, as we know.
But I think the takeaway, the important takeaway is there is not some, you know, little squint on the other end of the bazillions of packets that gets sent through every second looking. There is a computer algorithm that's picking out key phrases, and when it's determined that somebody needs a closer little look at, they get that look at. I mean, if people just let common sense prevail for a minute, do you really think the amount of people it would take to do that real time, our unemployment would be -7%.
Exactly.
Nobody in this
you're going to need a person to listen to everybody's conversation.
There's no way. But again, my spidey sense is going off on Snowden. Something's not right.
Just like Bradley Manning. You know, what is the alternative? And people want to applaud Bradley Manning for exposing what he did. But Bradley Manning's main motivation was he was a gay soldier in the military and felt like he wasn't getting fair treatment. So he had an axe to grind. And that's how he decided to grind his axe.
Yeah, you know, Snowden is liking this exposure too much. you know, it may be a stereotype, but a lot of whistleblowers that I've seen, you know, them interviewed or whatever, they really are saddened that they had to do what they did. You know, they wish. They're like, you know what? I wish that I didn't have to have done this. And they're not, you know, smiling and laughing and skinning and grinning and acting. You know, they're not enjoying the spotlight. And, in fact, most of them that I've seen don't even want the spotlight. They shun the media. They don't want to really do any interviews, nothing, because they're not happy that they've had to do. I don't know. Something ain't right with him.
Yeah, and he, you're right. He didn't run and hide and leave a manifesto and then start running around the world and, you know, and being anonymous. But then again, there is some safety in being a well-known individual. There's some implicit.
Yes,
there's some implicit.
If I were in his shoes, I would have gone to the media too. I would have exposed myself so I don't wind up dead. But I think I would have done it with a lot more humility. Shut up, Yale. But you get what I'm saying? Yeah, it was.
Oh, I completely get it. I completely get it. And I think that's, you know, like I said, there is safety in doing things that way. There is certain aspects, but again, back to your point, why? Why did he do what he did? And the idea of exposing what the government is up to is, to me, beyond, is just a little hard to swallow. Because they didn't just pick him up off the street as, you know, as a security guard at the front door of NSA headquarters and then say, okay, we're dropping you in here and this is what's happening. He had to work his way through the system and be exposed to things and spent years learning his craft and knowing what he was doing. And then all of a sudden he had a revelation that, oh, this is wrong. I don't want to do this. I think everyone should know about this. There's something that's just not right about that. Something just ain't making sense. Now, where the disconnect is, you know, I think time will tell. But there's more to what's going on than what's been exposed so far.
I think him running off to China, I think that's a fluke.
Yeah. Well, he had a home and he was living in Hawaii. So, something, what's the what? What's going on that you want to leave Hawaii making close to $200,000 a year? What's the real going on?
Something, right.
Again, it'll all shake out. It eventually all will shake out. We'll find out one day. And you know, because they're going to protect their home turf, they being CIA, NSA, they will find some dirt to discredit whatever he has come up with. And before we get off that point, let me point out the right, the Rand Pauls and the John Boehners and the Michelle Bachmans and all these other fringe, that basically everyone on Fox, they will try to pin this on the Obama administration. I saw today that the ACLU is already going to sue the Obama administration. Don't get it twisted, folks. This whole operation, as Kamal and I have been saying, didn't just start under the Obama administration. When everyone happily surrendered their freedoms under the Patriot Act, under George W. Bush, is when this whole stuff kicked off to another level. Warrantless wiretaps. And I'm not being a conspiracy, even though I could be if I wanted to be. All of this has been going on in the not so hidden sense.
Yeah, you're right.
That.
The question is, what was done during the Bush administration compared to what was done in the Obama administration? Has it gotten worse or better? Are they, you know, that's the real question. Are they doing anything worse or more different than what was happening during the Bush administration? And nobody will ever answer that, especially the Obama administration, which is one of the reasons they pissed me off so much, is because they just they feel like they don't defend themselves when they should defend themselves.
Yeah, and as I've been saying all along, you know, the fact that these Republicans and right-wingers and Tea Partiers and everybody else are so upset at Obama and try to call him everything under the sun but a child of God, what they don't understand is Barack Obama and his administration is more centrist and leaning a little to the Republican side that I grew up knowing. He's not a diehard, bleeding heart liberal. He has a lot of liberal policies. He is definitely in the tank for the people of the country, not the corporations of the company of the country. But a lot of what he does and his administration does and supports and backs is conservative in its approach. He's more like Ronald Reagan from a government standpoint, not a social standpoint, but from a government standpoint, than any of those clowns who got off the midget clown car during the Republican primary, who would go to the Reagan library and praise Ronald Reagan up and down, had never met Ronald Reagan or had worked with Ronald Reagan or don't even know how to spell Ronald Reagan, Michelle Bachmann. But he's more like them than they are. He's more like him than they were. So don't be surprised if he puts national security high on his list. And for those fools who think, oh, he's soft on terrorism because he said the war on terror eventually has to end, he's a realist and a pragmatist. Don't for 1 minute think that he is going to suddenly morph into Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. I mean, you can count on him to be Reagan-esque when it comes to military, when it comes to foreign affairs. You can expect him to be Bill Clinton-esque when it comes to social programs. Anything that will affect his daughters, he's going to be progressive on, and rightfully so. You know, he is very progressive with women's issues and some social issues. But other than that, he's Ronnie Jr.
And Ronnie Jr. is an okay guy, actually.
Yes,
he'll call shenanigans on his father's
okay
party in a heartbeat.
He actually lives up here. He's a cool guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the Zimmerman trial, the George Zimmerman trial for the murder of Trayvon Martin. started on Monday.
You know what? That whole thing is just so messy. I am so outdone with the defense and these videos they keep dropping.
Well, you know, I'm not mad at his attorney for trying to vigorously defend his client. That's what he should do. However,
and it's a
let's
big however.
Stop playing games. Right, exactly. Let's stop playing games. The facts are the facts. I don't care how you parse them, what side you line up on. I've saying this since the incident came to light. This young man was doing nothing wrong.
Nothing.
George,
and even
George
the little videos. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was okay, but George Zimmerman was doing nothing right.
Exactly.
He was
nothing.
Not on duty. In his capacity as a neighborhood watch, after calling the police, he was told to stand down repeatedly.
To stand down.
It's
your
on
ass
tape.
Down somewhere.
It's on audio. It's there for the world to hear. You can dispute who's screaming on the tape. You can dispute the efficacy of the law, stand your ground, but what you cannot dispute is the police dispatcher repeatedly told him to stand down and to not approach the individual and to not get out of his vehicle.
And you know what? That argument that it was a dispatcher and not a police officer is so full of BS that it makes me scream. Because the dispatcher was acting as an agent of the police department at the time. And oftentimes, dispatchers are police officers. They are
right.
Taking extra shifts. They, you know, are on medical, you know, they have a medical excuse. I was a dispatcher for the college that I went to. And first of all, it's a very stressful job. But second of all, a lot of times that my co-dispatcher that I was with, like on the overnight shift, were police officers picking up overtime or a police officer who had broken his leg and so he was on desk duty, so he was doing dispatching work. Give me a break.
And even if this dispatcher was not, what this dispatcher was a trained agent of law enforcement.
Exactly. It doesn't matter if they are a dispatcher and not a police officer. As a dispatcher, they are acting as the agent of the police department. So their word is just as golden as if a police officer had told them. If they tell
right.
you to sit and your ass somewhere, you better sit your ass down somewhere.
If it was a medical emergency and that dispatcher said, begin CPR, the ambulance is on the way, and this has been documented, if you do not begin CPR, if you're a trained CPR person, lifesaver, and you said I didn't follow the dispatcher's word because they're not a doctor, they can't tell me what to do, then you're at fault. If the dispatcher had told him to get out of the car and confront Trayvon Martin, the dispatcher would have been, oh, well, I believe that the dispatcher knew what to do. They were an agent of the police department telling me what to do.
And not only that, he acknowledged what the dispatcher said.
Exactly.
He said, okay. So he willfully disobeyed what a member of the law enforcement community told him what to do.
And let's not get this twisted. Let's get real. Let's get real, real for a quick second on that issue. The 911 dispatcher did not call George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman did not call a bakery. When George Zimmerman used his cell phone to call law enforcement, he knew he would be speaking to an agent of law enforcement. Now, whether he called to get support, whether he called to get, quote-unquote, backup, whether he called to get confirmation and affirmation that he was doing what he was supposed to do, he knew when he dialed that number who he was calling and the instructions he was going to get from those people were the instructions he was supposed to follow.
And again, this was not a case of stand your ground. Not from the perspective of Zimmerman. Trayvon could stand his ground and get away with it, but what Zimmerman did, no. Zimmerman was the aggressor. The aggressor is not, stand your ground law is not supposed to be protected, protecting the aggressor.
Right. Right.
I can't run up to you and commence to kicking your ass and then shoot you when you defend yourself and say, I was standing my ground. No, that's not how it works. Is anybody unclear on that?
Evidently.
You can't.
The people who want to jump on his side immediately don't
right.
understand had that man never left his vehicle, Trayvon Martin would not be dead by his hand.
Right. I mean, it's no different than me just walking up to you and just for no good reason just start pounding you in the face over and over again. And then when the police come saying, oh, it was self-defense. Self-defense from what? You were hitting him. No, it's crazy and it's out of control. And I really don't like the games that the defense is playing. I really, really don't. And I hope that right now we're in jury selection, and I think they've dismissed, I think they said 46 people. They sent out 500 notices, and the goal was to go through 100 a day. And I think yesterday they had dismissed 46 of them. So I think this is going to take more than a week or two.
Yeah, they said 2 weeks to 20 days, they feel.
Yeah, that's a lot of people
down.
To go through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by law, they can't show the jurors that they're going through on camera, but they can release some audio, and there's been some interesting questions, and you can kind of peek where the defense is going. But at the end of the day, the one thing is for sure, they are not going to find anybody who has no knowledge of this case.
No.
And I don't know. That is
a positive and a negative at the same time, because you're going to have people come down on both sides of the issue. And even though I can't see where there's a second side, there are people who have formulated in their minds, that he was within his right to use his gun in deadly force.
And there's people like me and you, but they wouldn't put me on the jury because my mind is made up. My mind has been made up since March 17th, I think, of last year.
Mm-hmm.
No, he murdered a child. If all he had to do was stay in his car, and we would not be having this discussion. And that's what people fail to grasp. Every single time I argue with somebody over this, the one thing I always say is, well, if he had stayed in the car like he had been asked to,
repeatedly,
we wouldn't be here. And that's the bottom line. And I can guarantee you, I don't care if he had scratches on the back of his head, because I have told my children, somebody strange, you know, in this world of pedophiles, somebody strange come walking up behind you and following you, swing first, ask questions later. If you don't think
exactly.
Run first. If you don't think you can outrun them, baby, take them down. Take them down. You know, and I told you about, I was at the gas station at night, and this man came up to me, and I punched him in his face. Now, he was asking for money, I found out later, but I'm a woman. You're a man. It's midnight. I'm pumping gas. It's just me and you. Don't walk up on me. You know, and I got
and
all this.
You're talking about a child,
so,
talking about a 17-year-old child. I don't care how big, buff, or whatever the 17-year-old child was. I don't care if he didn't look like a 17-year-old child. you get out of your vehicle and confront a stranger and act aggressively toward that person, you get what you get.
You get what you get. If you go roll up on somebody, you get what you get.
And we can play the game.
You know?
We can talk it back and forth over, he thought he was in his right, he did that. You know, you let's again be clear. Just like in the case of a rape victim, the accused background is fair game. The victim's background is not.
Nope, not at all. And
Trayvon,
I mean, you know,
was the victim.
He was the victim. And the other question, you know, that always has come to my mind, was Trayvon in George Zimmerman's front yard? Was he prowling his house?
Did he jump on his car?
Right. And I understand how neighborhood watch works, you know, whatever. But I also know that, you know, there are rules and regulations if you're a neighborhood watch officer. But the bottom line is, what was he doing to Zimmerman? Was he trying to break into his car? Was he stealing his newspaper? Was he, you know, peeping in his house? Was he doing any of that? Or was he just walking through?
Did he come up on his back porch and start beating on the door with a hammer?
No. No. In which case.
I can guarantee you. That stand your ground is viable.
It is. That's. It's not called stand your ground. It's called something castle, defending your castle. Is that what it's called?
It's going to be slow singing and flower bringing if that fool shows up here again.
Right. But aside from that, the actual law is like the defense of the castle or something like that. But the bottom line is, if somebody is trying to get in your house, fair game. Fair game.
And again, let's be clear. Circumstances notwithstanding, yes, I was naked about to step in the shower and did not have access to my weapon of choice at the time. But even with all that going on, I still gave the person the option. I confronted him, let him know what was going to happen, and gave him the option to leave. He took it. We are having this conversation now, and I don't need to get a lawyer, and the police don't need to get more tape out of the back of the trunk of their car.
Right, but if I understand correctly, you didn't even have to give him the option.
I didn't.
You could have just shot through the door and been done with it.
George Zimmerman could have said to Trayvon, "What are you doing here?" Trayvon could have told him to go himself, and George Zimmerman could have stayed in the car, and it'd be a whole different outlook.
Or how about what most citizens would do? Hey, what are you doing? You don't belong here. I'm going to call the police.
Yeah, then call them and we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
That person will either start running or what have you.
Well, we got a short show tonight. Again, America, be careful what emails you send out. Be careful what text messages you send out. Be careful with pictures you send out on your cell phone.
Can you stop sending me negative pictures on my text message?
I'm not saying I stopped, but I'm saying I'm now aware that you ain't the only one getting them.
They're unappreciated by me and the CIA.
America, we'll be back same bat time, same bat channel as normal next Tuesday.
No, different bat time, same bat channel.
No, as normal. Same as
normal.
Oh,
as normal, yes.
This is not normal. And we're not normal. So.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination.
No one's stretch. Thank you, Jim. This is time. We'll catch you next time.